Welcome to Living Villa Capelli, where we learn life is so much sweeter when you add a little Italian to it. And now your hosts, Paul Capelli and Stephen Crutchfield.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm Paul.
I'm Stephen.
And neither one of us is so little, but we're a little Italian. I don't know why she keeps saying that. What is it with this little Italian thing? It kind of pisses me off.
Okay, so we can change the... You come up with a different intro.
Anna Vecchino, you have to come up with a different intro.
And your ears are going to be burning this episode, because this episode, we are welcoming Miss Coughlin to the
Elizabeth
episode.
Coughlin. Yay, Elizabeth.
Welcome to the show.
Beth has been on Vinny Todorovich's show a few times, I believe, right?
He's talked about me on a couple shows.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But do you talk to him on the show?
Well, I've called him a couple times to talk about fitness and my family heritage journey here in Italy.
So Beth has come here to Terlizzi in the province of Bari in Puglia, where we are, as some of you may know, at Villa Capelli, because Elizabeth found out not too long ago, about a year ago.
About a year ago.
That her great-grandfather was actually from Terlizzi. Because, you know, what happened back in the early 1900s, mostly, when people from southern Italy immigrated to America, they figured that most people wouldn't know the name of the town that they came from. So they would use a general term of where they came from. So any of you out there that are looking for your heritage and where your ancestors came from in Italy, when someone says they come from Bari, which is what happened with your family, right?
Exactly, yep.
They just said, I came from Bari.
Right.
Right. So most of those people do not really come from Bari. They just say Bari because they know that it's the only big city around. So they just say Bari. But many of them, most of them, probably came from little towns like Terlizzi, Molfetta. I think we spoke about this once before. Anybody from Molfetta out there? If your ancestors came from Molfetta, you probably live in Hoboken.
Right.
Whatever happened, I don't know. Everybody went to Hoboken.
Terlizzi people went to Boston.
Terlizzi people went to, well, but not only Boston, parts of Haverhill is where your family was from, parts of Connecticut, and then a big group of them moved to the area around Fresno, California, where we also have family.
Do you know why?
But I can also never figure out. Oh, by the way, we are recording once again in the courtyard of Villa Capelli. This is our summer headquarters.
Yes.
Under the jasmine tree.
Yes. So if you hear dogs barking and people, we have a studio audience today.
Yes. We have Beth's mom and dad, Gail, and Tony, which I like to call Rodney, only because he calls me Frank. And he doesn't even drink that much, but he calls me Frank. So it's okay. Then we have Albino Gesmundo. His wife, what's your last name? Nicola Spagnoletti. She is also from Molfetta and has probably never been to Hoboken. Their son, Gioacchino Gesmundo, present. He choked up on that one. And then Elizabeth's son, Thomas. Who is our official water carrier. He does nothing but grab ice from the ice machine, fill it with water, and drink water and ice.
Yes.
And guess what? Yes, his sign is Aquarius. Yes. Go figure. And, of course, my Aunt Maria, who is here for the second episode of Living Villa Capelli.
Hi.
So once again, I mean, this
I
year...
I have no more voice.
This year has turned out to be quite the Massachusetts Boston year. My aunt Maria, by the way, her pastry shop in Tewksbury, Mass, over the years has been named at least three times the best pastry shop in New England, Mirabella's Bakery. If you haven't gone there yet, check it out. It's awesome. But we're here because Elizabeth Coughlin has been doing genealogy in her family for quite a few years. And she came to sort of a dead end when she found out that her great-grandfather was from Bari. Right. It was like, okay, now what?
Exactly.
Right? So then you were listening to Binny Todorich.
Yep.
The world's angriest trainer.
Yep.
Or and is it world's angriest or bitchiest?
Right? Yeah, I was listening to his podcast, and he was talking about this olive oil that everyone needed to try, Villa Capelli. And so I'm a foodie. You know, I'm always into recipes.
She's not fat, by the way.
No.
She actually used to be a bodybuilder.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
A little bit? I saw pictures. You were more a little bit.
We'll get the picture for the show notes.
So I was listening to Vinny and Anna's show, and they talked about your amazing olive oil. So I said, I have to, you know, check out this olive oil. So I go online, and I'm looking on the computer to order the olive oil, and I notice that it's from Terlizzi.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting part is, at this point, I had figured out that my great-grandfather was from Terlizzi.
How did that happen?
Through Ancestry.com.
Uh-huh.
I found his World War I card. And it showed that he was from Terlizzi.
And but that was the first time you had known that, right?
Yeah,
before that, you thought
it was
from Bari.
Yeah, it was very broad. I didn't know exactly where he's from, so it was a very big clue.
Yeah.
Yep. So when I saw that, I was like, that is crazy.
And by the way, Elizabeth, according to Stephen, told me the other day, is the number four biggest client of Villa Capelli products.
Nice.
But number four meaning, you know, number four after three corporate clients. So she's like number one and beyond for private customers of our products, right?
Yeah, I'm a very
big fan. We love Elizabeth.
I can tell you like 100 things to do with all of them. It's not just olive oil. And I tell them all the time that when you come to stay here, it's like having Sunday dinner every day.
That's our new tagline.
Yes. Eating at Villa Capelli is like Sunday lunch every day.
Yeah, it's very nice. Yeah. And I've also learned that olive oil goes with everything.
It does.
Oh, yeah.
Including, we made our signature cocktail tonight, which we haven't done in a while, actually, which is the Villa Capelli cocktail, which was maybe, because we created it probably 6 years ago, 7 years ago. It was probably the first cocktail ever made using olive oil, and what it is vodka, because I mean you got to start with vodka somewhere.
Yeah.
Vodka, simple syrup, which we don't use anymore actually, right? We don't do simple syrup because Vinny Todorich and those people wouldn't like us to add sugar.
Right, you can't do that.
So we don't do that.
We'll have to explain Vinny and Anna a little bit.
Right,
listeners
right.
that don't know Vinny and Anna.
Well, it's the world's angriest trainer. Where you can find his podcast. But he's not as big as we are. He only has about 600,000 listeners.
Yeah.
So it's vodka, freshly squeezed pink grapefruit. It has to be freshly squeezed. Don't buy, already packaged pink grapefruit juice because it's not the same. Too much sugar in it. Then it has basil. Ice and Villa Capelli extra virgin olive oil, and then you blend it all together, you pour it in a glass, and you suck that sucker down.
I will have the recipe in the show notes.
Right, and it's like
delicious.
It is delicious, right?
Yeah.
It is delicious.
Oh my god, yeah.
And it's all antioxidants.
Creamy. Yeah, that surprised me. Like I thought it was, you know, it was going to be kind of like, you know, separate. You know, vodka, this, that, but it was very creamy. It was hard to tell. I thought there was cream in it.
Even your dad, Tony, who's sitting over there, who doesn't like anything, really.
No.
Certainly doesn't like me.
No.
But he was even commenting on how smooth it made his lips feel.
He's just trying to get you
some lemon in there.
No, no lemon. Grapefruit.
The oil makes it
basil. So your family, Your family obviously originally came from Terlizzi. Two branches of the family were actually from Terlizzi, Gesmundo and De Bartolo. And they immigrated to the U.S. when, roughly?
You know? 1913.
Oh, 1913. And actually, your family and my family have something in common other than the fact that we could both come from Terlizzi. But your great-grandfather in 1913 moved to America.
Yep.
My grandfather, Maria's father, right, Maria? Jack, Joaquino, in Spanish would be Joaquin, like Joaquin Phoenix. My grandfather started going to America, I believe in 1909. It was the first record I found. But they had a very similar story that involves the Spanish flu.
Right.
The influenza.
Yeah.
So what was it that happened with your great-grandfather?
He came over with his first wife, and they had three children, three boys. They had Serafino, and then they had Joaquino, and then they had Vito, or Victor. And then, unfortunately, his wife passed of the Spanish flu, and so he needed help raising his children. So he ended up marrying his housekeeper, Maria, who sadly had just lost her husband of the Spanish flu as well. So it was very tragic. And then they got married, and they had two children, Angela, who was my nana, and then my nana's brother, Joe.
Right. Now, I'm sure Steven's going to put this in the notes for the podcast, but the Spanish flu was something really, really incredible. I dare say that something like 50 million people, maybe more, 90 million people, died of the Spanish flu, which spanned like 3 or 4 years. But it was an incredible number of people.
Yeah.
So my grandfather, Joaquino, also, Tempesta, went to America. He started going to America in 1909, like I said. I still have his trunk here, his trunk that he would bring on the ship when he would go back and forth to America. I don't know what he was doing going back and forth to America. Maria, do you know?
No.
Was he trading guns or something?
No. I don't know. Maybe oil.
But like Genko, like from The Godfather.
Maybe he'll go back and forth to come back to America, like, you know.
Yeah.
After so many months.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Maybe like the whole visa program.
Yeah.
But so my grandfather was married to, what was her name?
Conchetta.
Conchetta Piccolomini. And they were living in Boston in a one-room tenement with, you know, the two of them and four children at the time?
Four
children, yeah. And so she gets sick. My grandfather, who couldn't speak English very well, calls his brother Luigi, who was living in Boston, who I guess could speak English a little bit better, and calls a doctor. And, of course, back then there was, especially in Boston, there was this whole animosity between Irish and Italian. And so when they called the doctor, the story in the family was always that, you know, he was an Irish doctor and he was drunk. That was, like, the bad thing that the Italians said about Irish people back then. The doctor comes and he treats my grandfather's wife, gives her a shot, and as he's leaving, he says to my grandfather, "Oh, by the way, she's not pregnant, is she?" And my grandfather says, "Well, as a matter of fact, she is." And he says, "Oh, my God, I killed her." That night, she hemorrhages, miscarries her child, and my aunt, who is Maria's oldest sister, Lena, told me one time that she remembers seeing this water basin in this Boston tenement one-room flat with what she thought was a little doll floating in red water. So she lost the baby and hemorrhaged to death. She died. And then he put his children in an orphanage, which I think your great grandfather did too. Did he put him in an orphanage?
No. That was a different family. Oh. This one, he ended up marrying his housekeeper to help raise his children.
Oh. So. Yeah, but my grandfather put three of his children, I believe, in an orphanage. They stayed in there for a few years, and then finally he said, okay, enough of this, and he collected the kids out of the orphanages in Boston, Jamaica Plain, I believe, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jamaica Plain. And he brought them back to Italy, where he decided he was going to marry his wife's youngest sister, who wasn't married.
Okay.
But your inspiration for this whole trip was neither your great-grandfather nor your father.
No.
But it was your grandmother, right?
Yeah.
Your Nana.
Yeah.
Your Nana.
Yeah. Angie.
Angie.
Yeah.
Angie.
Yeah.
Well, I saw a picture of her. She was like a smoker and a drinker. And
oh, yeah. Yeah.
She was cool.
She said it like it was.
I like her.
Yeah. I loved her.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was like my best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she didn't know where your father was from, right?
Her father. Yeah. He always told me he was from Barrie.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that she had always wanted to go return to Italy and see where he was from.
Mm-hmm.
And her brother, Serafino, did go. And she was...
And he met up with some of the people that are here tonight.
Yep.
In the courtyard, right?
Yep, yep.
The Gesmundos.
Yep, a beautiful family.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Who like most of the families in Talisi,
they
do
want...
And they bring food.
Yes.
So yes. Let's take a step back and just tell the whole story, because I feel like you're jumping around.
Okay.
These guys are not going to be able, the viewers are not, listeners are not going to be able to follow this. And I think Beth did an amazing job. She wrote this 4-page story for us. It was like all about, you know, returning to the family.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful story. I'm going to go through, paraphrase this a little bit for you guys, just so you guys as listeners understand the story. Her Nana was very important to her, definite character. She did not know where her family came from.
Right.
And it was always, she always wanted to return to the old country to find where her family came from.
Right.
So that was, I think, imparted kind of onto you.
Right.
That kind of importance of where the family came from.
She died quite young. She was about 67 when she died. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so she didn't have the time to finish her dream.
Yeah.
And so that's when I decided, when I got the opportunity, now that I'm in my 40s, you know, I had the chance to try to finish the dream for her.
Yeah. And so then Beth started doing some research. She got to a point where she at least found the draft card of your grandfather.
Right.
That had the little town of Talisi.
Yep.
Some time goes by. She's like, okay, I know this, great, blah, blah, blah. So Beth has an interest in health and fitness, so she starts listening to the Angriest Trainers podcast. If you guys don't know the Angriest Trainers podcast, it's Vinny Tortorich and Anna Pacino. It's, you know, their big thing is no sugar, no grains. That's why we talk about that a little bit. That's my diet. I don't eat sugars. I don't eat grains. I apply to this. But Beth was listening to this kind of just to get some more fitness information. She's a foodie, so it's kind of for foodie stuff.
Yep.
And we happened to sponsor this podcast because Anna was also a former guest at Villa Capelli, and she, you know, asked us if we wanted to sponsor the podcast. So we do sponsor the podcast as part of our products. Beth, lo and behold, said, let me try this olive oil out. She went on the site and was like, wait, crap, this oil is from freaking Talisi.
Right.
It
blew my mind.
Yeah, it was like,
I mean, of all the places in Italy, right? It's this little, you know, it's a small town, you know, when you think of how big Italy is.
Yeah.
And it's random. It's like southern Italy, you know?
Yeah.
And it just blew my mind.
I mean, to me, that, blows my mind still. It's like, how did they make the connection? It's just really weird. So again, time goes by. Oh, let's let the plane go over. See, this is what happens when you're in an ancient courtyard in Italy. La, 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 la.
The plane is flying over the jasmine bush, which is covering us from the rain that we never get. It's been over 100 degrees for 2 weeks. Today, the wind whipped up, the sky turned gray. thunder, lightning. We thought, here it comes, baby. Not a friggin' drop of rain came anywhere near us. Anyway.
All right, continuing the story. I'm paraphrasing all of this.
Yeah, sure.
Again, time goes by. You know, she thinks this is kind of cool, the coincidence. You know, again, kind of puts it on the back burner. Finds a pigeon in her front lawn.
Yep.
What do you call it? A homing pigeon?
Yep, exactly.
Yes.
A racing pigeon?
Yes.
Yep.
Helps it find its home, back to its home. And then after all of this, you know, drama and finding this pigeon, caring for it for a few days, blah, 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 like a light goes on in her head, and she's like, wait a second, does that actually mean something? She picks up the book. What was the book? Animals Speak.
Yep, by Ted Andrews.
And this one that was kind of amazing. It was interesting. It's, pigeons can teach us how to find our way back when we are lost. They help us remember and find the love of home and home life that we have either given up or lost. So then she basically closes the book and says, through this, I'm going to freaking Tbilisi.
Yep.
She sent us an email and put the deposit down, and next thing you know, she's here.
And now we can't get rid of her.
But along the way, right before that, she got an email from your cousin, or is it cousin?
Yep.
In Michigan.
Yep, I got
An actual physical address.
Yep, and yes. I found an actual physical address from a cousin in Michigan. It's the daughter of my nana's brother, who had come here about 25 years ago.
So she sent a letter to the family who's surrounding us now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To Albino, right?
Joaquino.
Oh, to Joaquino.
Yes. And he actually said he had a horrible day, and he told us this last night. He had a horrible day, and then he arrived at home and he found her letter, and he opened it up, and he was so excited to find this letter because he thought the communication with the relatives in America was done.
Yeah.
That it had disappeared. So he was so excited to hear from Beth.
Yep.
And so the connection was made, and now, you know, Beth came here, she's been here, we've been touring, and then you met the family. They were lovely, and they met them at the airport.
Yeah, that was really neat.
Yes. And then last night, we had a huge dinner. They made panzerotti.
Yep.
Panzerotti.
100 of them.
It was very good.
100 for 15 of us.
Thanks to Nicholas frying and stuffing of the panzerotti.
Yeah.
And Joaquino's secret recipe, which he won't give me, for the dough, although he did ask me for my recipe of the rice fritters. So I think we have an exchange program going on here. But, you know, just going back for a second, though, before we get to that part, I think what's really interesting, I think, is what happens very often, even though I'm not a genealogy expert, or some people would say freak, because, I mean, it does become sort of an obsession after a while. We have a friend of ours, Tom Martellone, also in Boston, from Tbilisi Roots, who is just crazy about, you know, finding all these Mormon records. Because the Mormons do have all the records of every person who has ever died in the world, because they will baptize you after you have died, whether you like it or not. But you came to a dead end. But also on the other side of the world, in Italy, in this town that you were really looking for, was this young man, Joaquino Gesmundo, who had also come to a dead end.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, okay, this whole story, this, you know, going after the windmills is kind of over. Mm. Because now a couple of years have passed, and it's finished. There's no connection anymore. So you kind of almost forget about it, but somehow then, that's when the pigeon came in.
The pigeon, it was really fascinating because I had kind of given up on the whole thing, and then when I came home one day, there was this beautiful pigeon in my driveway, and I didn't really think much about it. I gave him some bread and some water, and then I went out and did my errands, and I came back, and the bird was still there, and I'm like, what the heck? So then he, I'd go in the house, and I thought he had left, and he literally was at my front door, like looking through the window at me like, hello, do you see me? And I'm like, what the heck? And then this went on for like 3 days, and I started feeling bad until he pooped on my husband's car. He did not like that he did that. So he said, you need to find a new home for our new friend. So that's when I went online and I researched racing clubs in Boston, and I met a gentleman and his wife and returned the pigeon to him. And that was another odd thing, because I live in a suburb of Boston, and ended up that he knew who the bird belonged to, and the bird belonged to a gentleman in Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. So he got to return the bird to Rhode Island, and so he was really excited about that. And so I didn't really think much about it, but I thought the whole thing was weird. So that's when I looked in the book, and I said, well, what does it mean when a pigeon visits you?
What and does it mean when a pigeon visits
you? It means...
That should be the name of the show, When a Pigeon Visits You.
Yeah. It means it's a time to return to family, because Columbo in Italian is pigeon,
uh-huh.
And Christopher Columbus founded America. And it means to return to heritage or to return to family. And it asks you to question yourself if you've forgotten your foundation and where you're from.
Hmm.
So I thought that was amazing. An amazing gift from my Nana. Yeah.
Well, quite honestly, I don't want to say saddest part of the story, but the most melancholy part of the story is actually the story of Nana, because she is the one that really... Although maybe she never really showed it strongly, or did she?
Oh, no, she wanted to come big time. Yeah, she did. She showed me, you know, she cried. She wanted to come. Oh, yeah. She wanted to come to Italy, see her family. She showed me pictures of her brother, Serafino, when he visited, and the Gismondos, and she very much wanted to come.
We may have spoken about this before, but... That's one of the strange things about people in small towns like Terlizzi here, where many of them can't really understand or grasp the notion of why would you want to come to this town to find your roots? Because people in these towns never leave these towns.
Yeah.
So they know where their roots are.
Right.
The roots have always been here.
Yeah.
You know, so for you to say, I want to find out where my great-grandfather comes from.
Right.
The people who live here, like, my great-grandfather came from this same house that I live in today, because we've lived here for 300 years.
Right.
And I know he's buried in the cemetery up the street. So what's the big deal? But for Americans or children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren of immigrants, there is this sense of longing, of almost a loss if you don't know where you came from.
It truly is like the pigeon. I mean, it's like being...
That pigeon was lost.
That pigeon was lost in my house.
Oh,
he was from Rhode Island.
I never thought about that.
Oh,
way.
Yeah. That little guy was lost, and he needed to find his home, and that's how I...
You want to know where he came from.
Yeah, I wanted to find where my great-grandfather was from, and I wanted to complete, you know, my Nana's... dream to find her family. I think when the man, I received an email from the man the next day, and it basically reminded me of that.
Who's the man? The guy who...
He was a little old guy, him and his wife, and they were just so thankful to find the pigeon. And he that's what he said to me. He's like, Beth, this little guy was lost, and he was just trying to find his way home.
Oh.
And that's just what a lot of us are trying to do. We're trying to find our relatives, you know, and their way back home.
Yeah, because we all want to know where we come from.
Yeah.
And I mean, I will say, I mean, the stuff that Beth has shared with me this week with her grandma, I think she did come, like, on the plane from Rome to Bari.
Yep.
The only seat that was empty on the flight over was next to you guys.
Yep.
Where you had been told that the flight was told.
Oh, yeah, we actually had to check our bags in, because...
Even your carry-on bags.
Mm-hmm. We had to check our carry-on bags because the plane was full. And so there should have been no seats available, absolutely none. And their seat was empty next to my son, Thomas.
So she came with us.
Yes. So Nana is here with us.
Yes. That's right.
And then, I mean, we've had so many symbols from...
The meteorite?
Meteorite.
Yeah, we had a meteorite, by the way, the other night. Did we talk about this? No. We were sitting here in the courtyard, and Thomas, Beth's son, who was sitting here in the courtyard, he was the first one to notice, like, this fireball. And they actually... It was in the papers the next day and on the news here. This fireball passed over southern Italy. And it was magnificent because as soon as Thomas alerted us to it, we all looked up and we saw
amazing.
This. Yeah, it was a huge meteor that just flew over us.
And it exploded.
And exploded. You could see all the little pieces falling off the back end of it. And I mean, you know, none of us want to get too schmaltzy or too religious or too like
foo-foo
about it. Like, you know, we're a bunch of freaks believing this stuff.
Yeah.
But when these weird things happen, it does make you think a little bit about it.
No,
it's like, I mean, really. So was that Nana's spirit or soul chasing us and leading us to the next phase? So how does it feel to be finally in your ancestral home?
You know, you feel like you've come home, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and it's very, it's a very rewarding family feeling.
That was Thomas, the
it's
water
okay.
carrier, knocking all the water off the table.
It's all good.
That's another sign.
See? Yeah. She wanted to be a part of the podcast.
Nana pushed Thomas into the table.
She was like, I'm going to be a part of this podcast.
So you finally got to visit your ancestral home.
Yep.
And what do you think of it? I mean,
it's
small.
It's beautiful here. It's absolutely beautiful. This is a beautiful town. It's a beautiful family. It's just been
beautiful. It's nothing like America.
No, but you know what? It's you know what it does? It helps you to stop and take a minute and enjoy each moment. Italy enjoys each moment. You enjoy each moment of being here and of your day. You enjoy your breakfast. You enjoy the quiet moments when you look around the villa, and you enjoy your beautiful. The beautiful family that I've had a chance to meet, and it's just been amazing. And I like to think of it as the beginning of the journey, even though it's the end. It's actually the beginning.
Yeah. Are you planning on coming back?
Oh, yeah. I'm already ready to get my deposit to come back. It's amazing. And, you know, as much as I could try to say that, say how amazing it is, it wouldn't do it justice. You guys are a fabulous host. I feel like I'm staying with family, and
you've
treated everyone here amazing. And I love your aunt. I feel like she's my aunt.
Yeah.
And
that's Aunt Maria.
I'm still convinced that they're related. They just haven't found
the right record. Because we do know that in the family trees that have been put together, thanks to, again, Tom Martellone, who sent me our family tree to 1736 or some crazy thing. But there is a Gesmundo in our family as well, and a De Bartolo in our family as well.
There was a Vito
Gesmundo, which we think may be linked. It's very easy if you sort of, like, open yourself up and let the family come in, even if it's not your actual family. If you let yourself say, okay, it's almost like, you know, I don't want to get too sappy, but like it's a global family. We're all human beings. People who have feelings and emotions and most people are always looking for something. We're always looking for some connection that will connect us not just to our own heritage and to our own ancestry, but just other people on the planet. to feel that, you know, you come halfway around the world and you can still feel at home. You feel like, you know, I've never met these people before in my life. But all of a sudden, I feel like, you know, maybe we are related. Because at the end of the day, we are all related.
Exactly. That's right? The whole thing, right?
We're all like from the same skin, the same cloth, the same, all the same root that we come from. Right?
We're all a little Italian.
Well, I'm not so little.
All right.
Okay. Well, anyway, that being said, and before we all start crying and kissing and all that good stuff, we're going to say goodnight. We're going to say buonanotte. Thank you very much to Elizabeth Coughlin.
Thank you.
Elizabeth Coughlin, Gizmundo.
You know what I'll do? I should put your story, if you guys want to read the full story.
Yes.
Elizabeth did an amazing job writing this down for the full history. I'm going to put that in the show notes. That would be amazing.
And to her extended family, which she found here in Telizzi, the Gizmundos. And we'd like to thank everyone, and especially Elizabeth Coughlin and her family, Gail, and Tony, which I call Rodney, and Thomas, who likes to knock over everything.
No, you're fine.
And, of course, my Aunt Maria, who just doesn't seem to go away anymore. I mean, she's always here. From the Villa Capelli courtyard under the jasmine bush, good night, buonanotte to everyone. Thank you very much.
Hey guys, hope you enjoyed that interview. I know we enjoyed having Beth and her family here and hearing that story. It was kind of a really cool, wonderful story that brought everything together. It was really nice. Again, you guys go to iTunes and hit subscribe if you don't want to miss an episode. Also, go to villacapelli.com. Sign up for our newsletter and you won't miss anything that way, even some of our promotions and news. And in that site, you'll also see a link to the podcast up top or to Staying at the Villa if you're interested in that. And you can find us on Facebook and Instagram, all under the name Villa Capelli. Also, if you need the show notes for this episode, again, best full story will be in there along with some pictures. That is livingvillacapelli/15 is where those will live. Thank you guys so much for listening. Hope you're enjoying it. Let us know. We love to hear from you guys. And thanks again. Until next time, arrivederci.